Welcome to another episode of the Deborah Health Report, where we dive into current health and medical topics to keep the Delaware Valley informed and updated. Last month, we focused on the heart and discussed hands-on CPR, automated external defibrillators, and ways to protect our hearts. This month, we focus on recognizing and treating the physical and visual signs of heart failure. Heart failure is not an incident, but a potentially fatal process that can significantly affect quality of life if not treated and closely managed. Here's Rasa Kay.
Hi, I'm Rasa Kay. This month, the Deborah Health Report focuses on heart failure, a chronic, debilitating condition when untreated or poorly managed, as well as a leading cause of hospitalization due to the resulting buildup of fluid in the lungs and other body tissues when a weakened heart muscle just can't keep up with its workload. The good news is that there have never been more ways to treat heart failure. In some cases, stopping or slowing its progression, in others, even reversing some of it through medication and lifestyle modifications alone. If more aggressive modalities need to be considered, the range of options there has been growing as well, thanks to the rise of sophisticated implantable devices. Cardiologist Dr. Kulpreet Barn breaks it all down for us.
Well, heart failure is the result of many diseases when the heart is not able to meet the demand of the body. And that results in heart failure. That could be from high blood pressure, diabetes, blockages, infections, inflammation, anything that can damage the heart so the heart doesn't work properly, COVID.
So it's not an incident.
It's usually not an incident. One incident can lead to heart failure, but usually it's a chronic disease. It's usually a result of damage from some disease that results in the heart. It usually is not a overnight thing. It usually takes weeks and months to present.
So when you get diagnosed with heart failure, is that an earthquake to your life? What does it mean?
Yeah, so you know, it is a very serious diagnosis. I think even with the contemporary treatments, I tell patients it's really a two-decision thing. If you don't take your medications, if you don't take it seriously, it is a death sentence. You will not be alive for a long time if you don't take it seriously. The best analogy is we call it the cancer of the heart. And these patients do behave like cancer patients if you don't treat them. Now, on the other flip side, if you seek care, take your medications, follow up with a specialist, you can have many, many years, productive years. And, you know, we have famous people who had heart failure and they were productive. Vice President Dick Cheney had it. And, you know, he was running the country. So you can certainly live normal lives if you take follow a treatment plan and follow with a good doctor and, you know, modify your risk factors.
What would send you to the doctor to find out that all of this that you've been experiencing is actually heart failure? And what might lead to that in terms of causation?
Right. Usually symptoms. Majority of the times there'll be symptoms. And unfortunately, a lot of these symptoms can also mimic other diseases have those symptoms too. So really, if you're having symptoms of shortness of breath, wiped out, activities you could do a year ago, you can't do them anymore, swelling in your legs, can't lay flat, any kind of alarming symptoms, you should immediately go to your doctor, whoever you see on a regular basis, and they will start doing some testing to figure out, is it the heart, is it the lungs, is it some other blood problem? And they will finally get to a diagnosis. And once you get the diagnosis of heart failure, you should definitely see a heart specialist, and they'll put you through a treatment plan.
Luckily, if you've got early symptoms that you catch, there are things that you feel, but eventually you can even see that there's something wrong with someone. So tell us about the stages of heart failure and what they mean, what they indicate is going on.
Sure.
Under your ribcage.
Yeah, once again, the analogy we like to, because, you know, cancer is very well known. It's in our community. So it's really similar to cancer. Just like once you get diagnosed with cancer, we stage it because it helps us tell you patient the prognosis, meaning what their future is going to look like. And also helps doctors understand, depending on the stage, how aggressive we need to be. So similarly with heart failure, we do the same thing. We stage it and we do stage A through D. And A means your risk factors for heart failure. Stage D is you're so bad you need a heart transplant or something severe, and somewhere in the middle is all our treatment options. So we do stage it, and that helps basically help tell the patient the prognosis, which means tell them what their future looks like if left untreated and treated. And for doctors, it tells us, depending on the stage, how aggressive we need to be. Do we just need to do pills, or do we need to do devices, or do we need to go to a heart transplant?
So cancer can go into remission with the right treatment. Can you reverse or cure heart failure?
Absolutely. I mean, with the new medications and certain, depends on the, what we say, etiology, meaning what the cause of the heart failure. So there's certain causes of heart failure that are curable. And then there are colitis that are not curable, but our new medications work so well. I have so many patients, their hearts get better. They get improved and they recover. And then some patients don't. So we like, so we see all three. We see a cure, we see remission, and then sometimes in small cases, if they take their medications, we see progression. That despite everything, they keep getting sicker, and then we have to talk about aggressive therapies.
So even if it's cure remission, you are still managing potential heart failure.
Once you have heart failure and you take medications and you get better, we want you to take those medications for the rest of your life.
When you talk about the prognosis, what are the lifestyle issues, quality of life issues? You talked about medication and possible other interventions, but what about how you can contribute to your own health?
I think, I tell patients, first thing first, take your medications. The newer medications definitely improve quality of life. You can do more things if you're short of breath doing certain activities. I have patients that are able to do more activities. So medications are key. Of course, stop smoking, weight loss. We also sometimes put them through cardiac rehab where we can condition their weak heart to do more. So there are multiple treatment. The treatment is not just pills. It's a comprehensive treatment package, as you can say. And so that's what patients can do to improve their functionality is to take medications, exercise, weight loss, and risk factor modification.
So what is it about heart failure that makes you feel so lousy, so tired, the swelling?
Sure.
It's fluid buildup overall, isn't that it?
Yeah, your heart is like your engine. That's the best analogy I've been using lately is that your heart is your engine. It's just like when the car's engine's working, you press on the gas pedal, you can go 90 miles an hour. And when the engine's not working, you go 30 miles an hour, and if you don't fix it, it'll stop. It's the same concept. Your heart is really your engine. Your heart pumps blood to your organs so you can walk and talk and feel good and have energy. And when the heart's not working, that's why you have those symptoms. And second part of what your heart does is that with your kidneys, it regulates the fluid. And when your heart's not working, you tend to retain fluid, which leads to the congestion and the leg swelling and feeling even worse.
And you might not necessarily just have swelling in the legs or the feet. You might have fluid building up in other parts of the body.
Well, just like in medicine, we see the typical presentations, and then we see the atypical presentations. Some patients will not have fluid buildup. They'll just be wiped out. They just can't do activities. Some patients will have the full symptoms. Their legs are swollen. They've gained weight. Some patients will not gain weight in their legs. They'll just gain weight in their belly. So weight gain is another sign. So, yes, some patients will present not in a typical format.
But fluid buildup in the lungs is something that's really worrisome.
Yes, I mean, it's usually generally throughout the body. What will happen is over time your body adjusts and the lungs don't fill up, but your body overall fills up with fluid. So weight gain is something we also look for. We'll have patients that will gain 20 pounds in 2 months because they're retaining so much fluid. And some of it is in their legs, but sometimes it's throughout their body.
What is the patient contribution then to the self-care besides just taking their meds?
Well, just like we talked about, stop things that can affect the heart, like just cutting back on drinking, stopping smoking, exercising, monitoring your weights, make sure you're not building up fluid, alerting your providers. So patients play a very important role. And just like I tell patients that, it's a relationship. And I can give them all the ideas and medications in the world, but if they don't listen to me, we're not going to be successful. We're only going to be successful if we meet halfway and work together.
So dietary considerations, things like sodium, anything that would create a fluid retention issue?
Sure, of course, just like we talked about, like the heart regulates the fluid. So if your heart is weak, you don't want to drink excessive fluid because you already have a damaged heart and it's already working hard. And if you're just drinking all the water, you're going to end up retaining. So yes, you do have to limit what you put in. And so we can maintain a negative balance where whatever you're putting in, you're putting out more so you don't fill up with fluid. And some of that we use weights, sodium restriction, and we have other devices to monitor the fluid.
But what about caffeine as a diuretic? Is that a good thing then if you're a heart failure?
So, I say moderation. I certainly would not recommend 10 cups of coffee a day, but if you want to have one or two cups in moderation, that's fine. But it is not going to be a diuretic. You can't just take the extra fluid out by drinking coffee. You'll tend to retain more fluid. So we have special medications to maintain that negative balance.
Who should a patient go to see if they're worried about heart failure?
Yes.
What are the steps there?
Yeah, so first step is if you're having symptoms, just your first contact is whoever. It could be a cardiologist, a primary care doctor, a family medicine doctor. Go see a physician. Because remember I told you there's some overlap of other diseases that can have similar symptoms too. So first step is to go through a doc. Keep in mind, it could not be heart failure, it could be a lung issue. It could be a blood issue. It could be something else going on. So you need to, if you're having these symptoms, you need to first see a provider. And that provider will most likely, the standard of care in the United States, is to put you through a differential diagnosis and run some tests, blood work, EKG, some testing to gear what are the symptoms. And generally speaking, you know, if it is a heart failure, you'll make it to a heart specialist. And you should at least ask to be seen by a heart specialist.
And what would the heart specialist then look at? In addition to all of those other tests, there is suspicion of heart failure. What then happens?
Yeah, so they'll do some other high-end testing, meaning if it's confirmed that your heart's not working properly, your initial testing, they'll do some other procedures like catheterizations and heart MRI, special pictures of the heart. So that's why it'll get escalated to a heart specialist that will order that special testing.
So catheterization might be necessary. You might not necessarily figure it out just from imaging.
So if you find out you have a weakening of the heart muscle in the United States, depending on your risk factors, we do recommend heart catheterization. So there's a big chance you need that. So that's why most likely, let's say you go to a family medicine doctor and they diagnose you with a weakening of the heart muscle, they'll generally at that point send you to a cardiologist or a heart failure specialist. And then they'll run those specialized tests.
But not every cardiologist is a heart failure specialist.
Absolutely. So, in the United States, we do extra training to manage these complicated patients. So, but unfortunately, there's not that many heart failure cardiologists in the United States. So you may be in a region where they may not have any. So your first point of contact may be a general cardiologist. And generally speaking, if they feel like they can't manage, then they'll seek out their regional heart failure cardiologist to help them out.
We got you here in New Jersey. So what kind of list of questions should you bring if you're in this process? To ask your doctor?
Yeah, if you're confirmed, the diagnosis with heart failure, you obviously want to sit down with your doctor and talk about the treatment plan, your prognosis, dietary restrictions, what can you do, a cardiac rehab program. So generally speaking, a good specialist will go through that with you, but if you feel like something's not there, those are the kind of things I would ask the physician.
But how long does it take to get to the point where you've nailed that this is heart failure?
Well, these days it depends on the patient. If you've been in this, we have patients that sort of because of certain barriers, social or financial barriers that they may not seek care. And once they're in the system, it's usually fairly quick. These tests can be done within days. It doesn't take months to get them done.
This kind of situation where you want a second opinion?
It depends. I mean, I think. If you're on a treatment plan and you're feeling better, you're probably okay. But if you're not feeling better and you keep having symptoms, then definitely I would seek an advanced heart failure cardiologist opinion, even if you have to travel far.
Does heart failure present with pain?
So generally speaking, not. But certain small patient populations can have some belly pain and vague pains like that. But generally, it's not a painful diagnosis. It's more of a just like a car and an engine. Like it's more of a you will have. Changes, it'll affect your life. Like you will not be able to do activities, you'll be short of breath, and those are the kind of symptoms that are more common. Pain is not a common symptom of heart failure.
What's the typical age range?
Predominantly as you get older, heart failure is more common as you get older. It is a disease of the elderly because as you get older, you get high blood pressure, diabetes, and those risk factors. But certainly small patient populations, we can see them earlier too. And depending on the cause of the heart failure. But generally, it's an elderly patient population diagnosis.
Any gender linkage?
No, it can, females. Females can present with there are two types of heart failure. Females tend to present with more of a preserved ejection fraction, whereas men present with lower. There are some differences. But certainly we see females and males.
That's cardiologist Dr. Kulpreet Barn. More on treating and managing heart failure, along with the latest on a possible COVID connection in our next podcast, which drops the first Wednesday of the month. I'm Rasa Kay.
You can always listen to all of the informative Deborah Doctor interviews at DeborahHealthReport.com. Schedule an appointment at DemandDeborah.org.